Today's shir is Masechta, Zvachim Daf Tzadik Gimel. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tzadik Beis on the Beis. Four lines from the bottom. Baimenei Levi. Levi asked the following question from Rebbe. Niteiz bebegel lebegel mahu. We've been discussing in our shurim the halacha of kibus, the halacha of needing to wash any garment that the blood of a Kohen Chatas fell on. What will be the halacha if blood first fell on one beged and then it went on to another beged? Beged kama itchalei l'kibus. Do we say that once it fell onto the first beged, then it became disqualified for using for hazaras adam? And since it's not usable for hazaras adam, there's no din of kibus, because the only blood that we have to do kibus on is blood that can be used for hazar, for zrikas adam. And this is not that type of blood. Adama, or do we say, like, that the blood did not become disqualified, and therefore this blood will also still require kibus? Amalei, so Rebbe said to Levi, Zu Shaila. This question that you asked is a great question. Tarn kibus, Manushach. And my answer to you is that it requires kibus. The second beggar requires kibus. She asked, if the kohen squeezed out the blood from the first beged for kosher, and that blood could be used for zrikas adam, so kosher. So certainly this blood is blood that could be used for zrikas adam. And since it's blood that could be used for zrikas adam, so of course, if it falls onto the second beged, it requires kibus. Vi also apostle, and even if he'll say that blood that was squeezed out of the first garment that absorbed the blood, that blood became disqualified for zrikas adam, but he says, I'm not Rabbi Kiva's relay. I hold like Rabbi Kiva, the opinion of Rabbi Kiva that we're going to learn. Dama, Rabbi Kiva's opinion is, if any time the blood could have been used, and then nafla, and then it falls onto a beged, Dama Tan Kibus. And since this blood, at one point, at the beginning, before it fell on the first beged, it was usable for Zrikas Adam, for Azaras Adam, that's enough of a reason that it should require now kibus when it falls on, now when it falls on to the second beged. It's interesting to point out, if we say that blood that is falls onto a beged becomes disqualified for Zrika, then why is any beged require kibus? Why don't we say that the blood, if we say that the blood that falls onto beged, we can't squeeze out and doesn't become qualified for zrikas adam, and we don't follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, when will there be ever a requirement for kibus? So to this, the Mefarshim explained that the Torah requires kibus as long as the dam was valid at the moment it landed on the garment, even though it becomes disqualified after it becomes absorbed in the beged. So the first garment, when the blood landed on it, was still not absorbed in that garment. Since it wasn't yet absorbed in the garment, it's certainly a situation that would be chayiv kibus. The Rambam, in discussing the Shaila, says that the halacha is that he paskins that the second garment is not subject to kibus. Since the Gemara, the Mefarshim explained, the Rambam says, the Gemara never answered, clearly gave an answer to this question. So says the Kasam Mishnah, it would be, the Rambam's opinion is, that's disrespectful to unnecessarily wash this garment, if we're not the second garment that we're speaking about, if it's not quite certain that there's a chiyuv kibus. The Rambam, the Chafetz Chaim, has a hard time understanding this psak. He says, because since, as we're learning, the chiyuv of kibus is a chiyuv deraisa, so why don't we apply the concept of safek deraisa l'chumra? And therefore, he says that we should have to wash the beged. The Stipler says that the reason the Rambam paskins the way he paskins goes back to a concept that we've learned previously, and that's the concept of nitcha. Since the blood that got absorbed in the first garment was nitcha while it was in the garment, once something is considered nitcha, a concept that we discussed many times in our Masechta, it remains disqualified forever. That's why the Rambam paskind, says the Stipler, that even though, as the Chafetz Chaim suggests, we have an issue of Safek Deraisa, we have an issue of Safek Deraisa L'Chumra, but here we also have the concept of Nitcha. And since we have a concept of Nitcha, that's why the Rambam held there is no kibbutz on the second Beged. Nitas a Beged Tomei. Mahu. If the dam from the Karmel Chattis fell on a Beged that's Tomei, and therefore that dam became Tomei. And since it became Tomei, the halacha is, it's not dam that's usable for Hazar. And since it's not dam that's usable for Hazar, therefore there's no Chiv Kibbus. Or do we say that before it landed on that Beged, it was usable for Hazar? Only when it touched that Beged did it become Tomei and disqualified. Then the halacha is that the disqualification of the stam came at the same time as the chiv kibus, and since these two obligations came at the same time, that's why the loch is that the chiv kibus came, and once that chiv kibus came, it remains. Says the Gemara, Amar of Hunab Rav Yeshua, mid kambay lehacha, the fact Rabbi Bachama asked his question in this situation that the blood is on top of the Beged Tamei. We see from him, Shmamina, clearly it is his opinion, something that we just discussed, that Hoysla Shasa Kosher, that even if the dam at a certain point was usable, the Nifsala, but then it became disqualified, the halach will be ain't on Tamei Kibbus, though there's no Chiyuv Kibbus, says the Gemara. But when is that said? Hani Mili B'Zachazah. That his opinion is that the halach is that way, only if the two disqualifications came one after the other. So the two disqualifications came one after another. So in the case where the dam became disqualified, and then the dam is on the Beged, that's where, since the dam is disqualified, the halacha is there's no chiv kibus. But, bas achas, if the disqualification of the dam, because the dam became tamei, loy, then the halacha will be that kibus is required. A dilma loy shana, and maybe there is no difference whether the dam became disqualified before or at the same time. The halacha will always be that since this is disqualified blood, there's no chiyuv kibbutz. Amalei, so Rav Chisda said to Rabbi Bachama, the answer to your question is actually plukta de Rabbeleza Rabbanan. It's actually based on a machlokes of Rabbeleza and Rabbanan. Aliva the Rabba can come a taratz abaya. According to the way Rabba explained, and according to the way Abaya explained Rava's interpretation. And the Gemara explains itself. The machlokes of Ralaz and Rabbanan is regarding Mei Chattis, the water that has the mixture of Mayim Chayim and the ashes of a paraduma that became Tamei. And the question is, a person has to have the Mei Chattis sprinkled on them when they're Tamei Meis. And the question is, can we take water that is Tamei and use it as Mechatis to purify an individual as Tumas Meis? The Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Mechatis Shenitmu Mitarin. The Mechatis that became Tamei have the ability still to mitar a person. What's his Raisha Rei Nida? If you have a woman who's a Nida, that also became Thomas Meis, Mazanallah. The halacha is that even though she has not gone to the mikveh been able to go to the mikveh even to take off a tumas nida. The halacha is that having the she could still be sprinkled with the mechatis. There's no halacha in the Torah that requires that she first should remove her tumas nida before that zos mechatis. So we see that mechatis that became tumay can be used for be matar a person with tumas meis, because the nida is tumay, and we sprinkle on her the mechatis. The mechatis obviously become tumay when they touch her, and they still have the ability. They still have the ability to be matara, even though, as the Gemara often in Shas teaches us, that the halacha is that we should be most careful that the mechatis should not become tumay. We learned there are Mishnayos that tell us how the mechatis should be transported, because one has to be most careful not to transport it in a way that it should not become tamei. So the question here is that how are we allowing that this mechata should become tamei, because they're touching a woman that's tamei. Explain the Rishonim that halacha is only before the mekadosh the mechatas. We have to be careful as we're preparing the ingredients for mechatas, toisus, and the Rabban say it, that Chazal were most careful it shouldn't become tamei. But here, we already was mekudosh as mechatas, this halacha doesn't apply. Says the Gemara Vamar Rabba, Rabbi Lozer, who just taught us this halacha about the mechatas that was put on a nida, so from here we learn that the mechatas, that's tamei, still is possible to be matar. Says the Gemara, the reason Rabbi Elazar was able to say this is because Shitus Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Amar. He said this according to Rabbi Kiva. Amar, Havaras Kli Agaba Makam Tamei, that taking a Keli over something that's Tamei, Kemunach Tamei. Putting the Keli with the Mechatis on top of a Nida makes that Mechatis as if it's Tamei. And that's why this is a great raya that mechatas. This becomes a great raya that mechatas. This is a great raya that mechatas. That's tamei could still be mitahar, because the way we're learning now, the mechatas was put on top of a woman that's tamei, and therefore the Gemara is learning now that made the mechatas tamei, and even though it made the mechatas tamei, still, this woman, it's still usable. Where, says the Gemara, do we find the opinion of Akiva? The Tanan, the Mishnah Masech, the Paraperek Yud, Mishnah Hay teaches us. It teaches us about a case where you have a picture of Mechatis that's on a windowsill. On a windowsill. And you have an oven next to that window. And the way you were trying to get that picture of Mechatis to you, it was standing on tap on the other side of this oven, sheretz b'tanner, and in this tanner there's a sheretz, and you put your hand, you took your hand to the windowsill to take this picture with Mechatis, and you passed it over the opening of the tanner. The tanner, it was open from the tap. Rekiva metame. Rekiva says the mechatos become tame. The chum metarim, the chumim don't agree. As I said, the opening of this tana was to the tap, and the question is if passing the mechatos over that makes it tame. The mefarshim all explain that the case we were speaking about is specifically this case, but let's say you had a sheretz in the tanner, and you put the mechatis in the tanner, there would be no question, explained the Rishonim. All the Rishonim agree that in that case, the mechatis become tamei. So the Gemara says, Rekiva metamei, Ubaha pligi. What is the machloikus based on? Rekiva sava kemunach tamei. Rekiva's opinion is that anything that passes over a place where there is tamei is like it was put in the oven itself. And as we said a moment ago, something that was put in the oven itself will certainly, with its sherets in it, will be tamei. Rabbanan's opinion is lav kemunach tamei. And therefore, we see that even though when the mechatis are on top of the nida, they become tamei, they're still, says the Gemara, says Rabbi Lazar, they can be used for being matar, a person who's tamei meis, clearly indicating that something that's tamei can be used to be matar, a person. And this is the way Rabbi explained the machlokes of Rabbi Lazar and the Rabbanan based on Rabbi Kiva. Asks Abaya on this explanation. There's another braisa that says Moed Bekiva b'Chazor Shevira. There's somebody took Mechatas and passed it al Gabi Klicheres Tamei, or somebody passed it over Klicheres, which is Tamei, or he passed it over Gabi Mishkav Moshev Tamei. There's a bed or chair which is of lay down or sat on, and that makes that Mishkav Moshev Aram Matoma Shetoyra. That mechatas remain tohor. Why? Shein l'chadovish metam l'mala, l'mata, this concept of tumas oil, that anything that goes over something else is tamei, is only applicable by kazayis min ha-meis, by meis itself, v'shar kol me'ilim, or anything that has, anything else that has tumas oil. What is another example, says the Gemara, of tumas oil? L'suya evanim n'gas. Evan, a stone that was touched by a metzora that has tumas oil. But any other tumah doesn't have the ability to metame something that goes on top of it. And therefore, the case of the mechatas going over a person that's tumay, the nida that we're speaking about, the mechatas will not be tumay, says the Gemara El Amabaya. So how do we have to accordingly explain the machloikas El Amabaya, the Kulama? Everybody will agree that lav kemunach tamei, that if you have mechatas passing over a sheretz, it's not like it's touching the sheretz. So what is the machloikas? What is the machloikas? Rekiva's opinion is gezeira in Hashem Yenuach. While you're taking the keli over place of tamei, you're worried that may come in contact with the tama, and therefore Rabbi Kiva made a gezeira the rabbanon that whatever passes over something that's tummy should be tummy. For Rabbi Banan Sover and the Banan hold, we don't make such a gzeira. However, Maidah B'Kiva B'Azah, but in the case when we're doing Hazah on top of a person that's tummy, the Kivan da Nofak, once the person has already started sprinkling that Mechatas, Nofak, it can't, therefore, the room for gzeira doesn't apply. And therefore, Rabbi Lezer, who said the mechatas that became tamei, the mechatas that became tamei could still work. For Rabbanon, if that's the case, then even everybody agrees that that won't make the mechatas tamei, just because they're being sprinkled over a woman that's a nida. Because Rabbi Kiva's gezeira is only in a place where I'm passing it over, not when I'm sprinkling her with it. But Michael Mifki, Amr Abaya. The Abaya says the machloikis, Rabbi Lozer Rabbanan, is a different subject. The subject is about Badaran Tumma Kaduma Matumma Shabbos Shishokim Lefki. Do we learn the locha about Tumma Amechatis that was there of Nei Hazor, that from Tumma that happened at the time of Hazor? Rabbi Lozer's opinion is that we can learn the locha of Tumma that was there from before, from the locha that was there that happens at the time of Hazar. And just like the Tumma that happens at the time of Hazar, what is the case of Tumma that happens at the time of Hazar when you're doing Hazar on top of a Nida? The day certainly the Mechatas become Tamei. That could be used, says Rabbi Lozer, to extrapolate that even a case where the Tumma was there from before, the Mechatas are effective. Well, Marsava versus the Rabbanan's opinion is, ain't done. In a case where you did Hazar on a person that's Tamei, so the Tumma comes at the same time as the Hazar is effective. And therefore, the halacha is that the hazar, that's why the halacha is that the hazar is effective. But if it was tame from before, maybe it's not effective. That's the opinion. It's not effective. That's the opinion of the rabbanim. And now we go back to sugya. Rabbi Bachama asked the question, what's going to be the halacha about dam of a karmichatis that was nitaz on a beggar tame? Rav Chisda said, according to Abaya, this is going to be a machloikus of a Rabbi Lozer and the rabbanim. According to the opinion of Rabbi Lozer, that the tumma that comes at that moment is equivalent, as we just finished explaining, to the tumma that was there from before. So the same thing will be regarding the washing of the dam chattis. The halacha is that the dam that becomes tamei by touching the beged is the same as it was tamei from before. And therefore, just like dam that's tamei from before doesn't require kibbutz, this dam won't require kibbutz also. And Rabbanan hold, one has nothing to do with the other. Dam that was tamei from before and that fell on a beged, indeed, Rabbanan will say, don't have a chiv kibbutz. But dam that only became tamei when it touched the beged that's tamei will require kibbutz. But now the Gemara suggests, Rava says the Kol Amo ain't donen. We don't bring a raya from the halacha that dam became tamei when it touched the beged, or mechatas that became tamei when it touched the nida, to a case where it was tamei from beforehand. What is the machloikus of Rabbi Lozer Rabbanan? Rabbi Lozer sov azor tri chashir, a concept that we discussed in our shiurim. Rabbanan hold that hazar has to have a certain amount of water. And the Mishnayis Masech the Parah explain that what is the shear, the amount that you put the stalk of grass in, there should be enough water on that stalk to be able to do zrika on the person that's tamei. Shabbalaz Sava has raw tzichashir. And as long as you did not put enough of that water, of that mechatus on the person that's tamei, he's not tar. Or mitztarfin lahazaz. And therefore he also holds that if you did hazar, but it wasn't enough water, you have to do another hazar. So now Rabbi Lozer says, when you do hazar or a nida, and the first water became that touched her, you didn't have enough, were metama or tahar, because we didn't put on enough water at the beginning, and we had to put on more water. When we did the second sprinkling, the first water was already tamei, because at that point the water had already touched her. So we don't have here a shear of mei chattis that's tahar, and still doesn't prevent her from becoming tahar. Rabbanan savri, but the Rabbanan hold hazar ain't tzricha shear. There's no shear to amount of water it has to put on. So as soon as the water hits her, she becomes tahar, and there's no problem that I need that water became tamei, because it became tamei only after it touched her as matahar. Our Gemara has been focusing on the halacha of a woman who is tamei, and can she be, a woman has tumas nida, can she become tar, at least from the tumas meis that's on her? There's a question that the Marsham discusses. If somebody has to wash negel vasser and he's in the bathroom, and the Marsham assumes that you can't wash for using the bathroom until after you went out of the bathroom. But could the washing that you do in the bathroom at least help to take off if the person had to do negelvasser? So this person has on him two chiyuve washing. One is for the negelvasser obligation, and one is for being in the bathroom. So he quotes the Zohar, that the Zohar says that it should not be effective. But then he quotes the Sefer Yad Yosef, who says that even according to the Zohar, he says it's not effective. He says, but the Eved, if the person has no other way of being Matar himself, he says it would be effective. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah Chatas Psula, if you have the blood of a Chatas Psula, of a chatas that's disqualified and it hits a person, the halacha is ein dame tame tefillah. Then it won't require, then that ein dame tame kibus, that won't, water won't require kibus. Whether if it was once usable, whether it was not. Tana Baran, the Braisa now discusses this halacha. The pasuk says, "Vashiyaz medama al habeged midama bedam ksher." We learn where is the halacha of kibus required when it was blood from a chatas, which is a kosher carbon. V'loy bedam psula, but not from blood of a carbon that's not a kosher carbon chatas. Rekiva's opinion, as we cited earlier in our shir, is ha'isla shas a kosher. If at any point this carbon chatas was a kosher carbon chatas, and then nifsula, and then it became disqualified, and the dam touched a beged, the halacha will be that dama tam kibus, that that blood has to be washed. However, if it was a situation, it was never usable, it was never kosher carbon, then the halacha is, ein dama tam kibus. Rav Shimon's opinion is, echet zeh, in all situation, ein tama tam kibus, the halacha is that that never requires kibbutz. Ask the Gemara, my time to Rav Shimon, what is the basis, says the Gemara, for Rav Shimon's opinion? The Ksiv, the Torah says, in the parasha of kibbutz, kol zoch bekanim yoichel oisai. Oisa is coming to the Ksiv, only this, and oisa, only the, it's an exclusion, this and nothing else. And the pasuk also says, midoma, so not all blood requires kibbutz. So Rav Shimon says, we have here two miutim, Oisa and Midoma. Chad, to teach us, Lahechad, the Oisla Shasa Kaisher, where it was once usable. Vachad, Loisla Shasa Kaisher, where it was never usable. So that's how Shimon says that any disqualified dam cannot be used. Rav Shimon, Rav Akiva, how Rav Akiva says, Oisa, the word Oisa is coming for a different situation. To teach us, Prat Latuma. As we're going to be discussing quite extensively still in our perek, that under certain circumstances there's a requirement to kasher the kalim that were used to cook the meat of the kabanis. And we'll learn from here that that only applies to kabanis, not to truma. So the question, of course, as we're going to learn, is why is that the case? If a keli has a bli of truma and has absorption of truma, and you, the Yisrael, want to use that keli, so of course you have to kasher it. Because don't you, the Yisrael, have to be concerned about the blis of truma, which you, as Yisrael, might not eat? And therefore, the Gemara is going to explain that of course it requires kashering. It just doesn't require the same serious type of kashering that keli that was used for kabanis. Pratla truma. Shimon tamei dama kachim kalim ain toim rikuv shtifa. They already kachim kalim don't require rikuv shtifa. So if they don't require rikuv shtifa, truma certainly doesn't. And if I don't need a pasuk for truma, if I don't need a pasuk for truma, I use it, says Rav Shimon, to teach us that whether the dam had a shasa kosher, whether it was once usable, or whether it was never usable, there's no chiv of kibbutz on such dam. Says the Mishnah, nitas min atzaver, if we know that whenever we shech the carbon, the first thing we have to do is kabbalas adam in a kli sharis. Teaches us the Mishnah, nitas min atzaver, if the blood spurted directly from the neck, ala beggar onto the garment, and a ton kibus, the loch is that is not required. Or, min a keren, we know that the dam of the karmachatis has to be put on the corner of the mizbeach. If the dam sprinkle went from the keren onto the beggar, or min a yasoid, another halacha that we've learned extensively in our Masechta, that the shiore hadam, the leftover blood of karmachatis, is put onto the yasoid on the mizbeach. And again, here too, the halacha will be that if it goes from the yisoid onto the beged, the halacha in this case as well, it ain't din, ain't tarin kibus. And the Rishonim point out there's a difference between the dam that goes from the keren versus the dam that goes from the yisoid. The dam that's on the keren, the halacha is that it still requires the yisoid. and still it doesn't require kibbutz. The dam that goes on the side is already finished with that dam, and therefore certainly there's no chiddush. The continues the Gemishna, nishpach al ritzpa, if the dam after the shechita got poured onto the ritzpa for asfai, and you pick up that dam, and then you put, and then it got sprinkled on the beged, the loch is ein ton kibbutz. Again, there's no chiyuv kibbutz. The chiv of kibbutz is only achbul el dam shnus nab keli, dam that was gathered into klisharis and after the shechita, and it also has to be dam that's royal azal. Tana bottom yochel begins the brayso yochel nitzas minatzav al beged. If it went directly from the neck of the animal onto the beged, the loch should be that ton kibbutz. The kibbutz is required. Tamalaymer, the pasuk says, "Ashiyizal techabis b'makom kodesh le'yamati l'cha." I didn't say the chiyuv of kibbutz. Ella b'royal hazal, only dam that could be used for hazal. And this dam that went directly from the neck onto the floor, the halacha, as we've learned earlier in our masechta, is that that dam can never be used for hazal. Since that dam can never be used for hazal, there's no chiyuv if that dam hits the beged with kibbutz. Tanya Idach says another braisa, yochol nitas min hakeren. If the dam went from the keren or from an yisoid and got onto the beged, yitoh and kibbutz, tamaloyim ashiyizah, only dam that will be used in the future requires hazor, that can be and will be used in the future, is dam that requires kibbutz. Pratlet shkva huzah, if it already was used, then the halacha is that there's no chiyuv kibbutz. And the Brisk Rav explains, isn't this obvious? Why was it necessary to be said? Explains the Brisk Rav, the reason it was needed to be said is because we would think that it's still called dam. And even so, since it's called dam, any dam has a chiyuv kibbutz, teaches us the Gemara, the Mishnah, that only certain dam come with the chiyuv kibbutz, not all dam. We learned further in the Mishpah, in the Mishnah, nishpach al ritzpah, if the blood fell directly onto the floor of the Azara and then it splattered on the beged, there's no chiyuv kibbutz. Ask the Gemara, hasolamali. We learned in the Mishnah that dam that's on the ritzpah doesn't require kibbutz. Why does the Mishnah say, why does the Mishnah have to continue by saying, she'el dam sh'niskabu v'kli? Says the Gemara, matam kamar. The Mishnah is explaining itself. And the Mishnah is saying, matam nishpach al ritzpah v'asvoy. Why is the loch of blood fell on the floor and you scooped it up from the floor and then that dam went on the beged? There's no chiv kibbutz, she ain't ton kibbutz. If she ain't ton kibbutz, al dam sh'niskabu v'kli. The only dam that requires kibbutz is dam that was accepted in a kli and v'roi lazor. And this dam that fell onto the floor directly from the neck of the animal will never be able to be used for azar. And since it was never usable for the azar, that's why it can't be chayiv kibbutz. So all the mefarshim asked, this halacha is so obvious. Why was it necessary for the Gemara to explain it, the Mishnah and the Gemara? So they answer based on a concept that we spent a lot of time discussing, and that's the concept of Olo Lo Yerid. And since there's a concept of Olo Lo Yerid, so maybe we'd say that should make it like it is somewhat usable. Kamash Malon, that Olo Lo Yerid is a legitimate halachic principle, but not to the degree that it's considered dam that requires kibbutz. We learned in the Mishnah that the only dam that requires kibbutz is dam that's royal azar, that can be used for azar sadam, says the Gemara Lamuti Mai. What is the Mishnah trying to teach us with this din? Lamuti kibbutz pachs mede azar beklizah. It's come to speak about a case where the Kabbalah's dam was done less than the amount in one keli, pachs mede azar beklizah. In no keli did you have enough to have enough dam for azar sadam. Rashi explains that even if you started with a case where you didn't have enough dam in one keli, and you didn't have enough dam in another keli. And now you take these two dams and you combine them. The halacha is that that dam still cannot be used for Azaras HaDam. Because since it started off in a disqualified fashion, it can never become kosher. The Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam actually holds that even though if you had enough didn't have enough dam in one keli, and you didn't have enough dam in the other keli, but now you could combine them, you combine them into another keli, the Rambam suggests that it would be usable. The Tanya in the Gemara brings a brisa. The brisa says, "Chalifta bashol oimer kidesh." Here we speak about the mechatas that pachs mechdei hazor beklize. You have less than the necessary amount of mechatas in one keli, or pachs mechdei hazor beklize, and you have less than what you need in the other keli. The halacha is like kidesh that can't become mechatas. And again, Rashi b'shitasoi says that even after you mix them together, it still will not be usable. Because as the Brisker Rav explains, since you didn't have enough water, you didn't have enough of the shear, the halacha is, says the Brisker Rav, then it's considered, becomes disqualified. And once it comes disqualified, it remains permanently disqualified. Ibailu, and now Gemara says, we just learned the halacha, the brisa about the mechatas. What do we say by the dam? Well, we don't have enough dam in each keli. Do we say that the halacha that we just learned by mechatas is hilchasihi? It's halacha Moshe Sinai. Umhilchasaloi gamrinin. Adilma hosamai tama. Why by the mechatas? Is it problematic? The ksiv. The lokach ezavatabah b'mayim ish tahor. So you have to have enough water. Hachnam ksiv atavah akkadis is bar b'dam. And therefore, it's not learning from Halacha Moshe Sinai, it's learning from a pasuk. So Rashi explains in Masechta Shabbos, this rule that the Gemara just established, the Melchus Olei Gemrin, that we don't learn from Halacha Moshe Sinai, means that all the Shlois Esir Midas that we speak about, Kal V'Chaymen, Gzeres Shava, etc., that we learn all our drushes and shas from, are not learned from something that's not that's only Halacha Moshe Sinai. But points out the Tzlach, when is this limitation said? He said that it's only in a case, only in a halacha that's completely built around the halacha l'mosh m'sinai. So if the entire source of halacha is a halacha l'mosh m'sinai, that's not something that we could use all the other drachim of learning from. But if it's something that is a halacha that we know independent of the halacha l'mosh m'sinai, and all the halacha l'mosh m'sinai comes to do is add different details to that halacha, in such a case, says the Tzlach, that can be, we can learn from such a halacha to other halachas, even though there's a dimension of halacha l'mosh m'sinai in the halacha we are learning from. Toshma, Don Razreka Amr Belozer, Af Bedam, if you don't have enough dam, like Kiddush. Amarava, Tanya, the Braisa speaks about the Par Koy Mashiach. The Koyin, if he did, the Koyin Gadol, who became Koyin Gadol through having, being anointed with the Shemen HaMishka, did an Aveira. So the halacha is that if that's an Aveira for which a Yisroel will bring a Karban Chattas, the Koyin Gadol brings the Par Koy Mashiach, as we learned extensively in Masech Taharius. And the pasuk says regarding that carbon, "V'tavah kainas etzbar b'dam, v'izam an adam shev upon mufnei Hashem es pnei proich sakodesh." V'tavah, we learn from the word "v'tavah" for lemasapeg that the kain has to put his finger into the keli with the dam, and not just get dam on his finger by putting it on the wall or on the rim of the keli. B'dam. And furthermore, we learn from that pasuk, "Achei b'dam shir tefila meikara." There has to be in that bowl that enough dam. V'hi zeh min adam shebinyan. And the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Explains the Gemara. V'tzach lemechta b'dam. Di kos rachman of a tovol. If the Torah would have only said a tovol, havmina, I would perhaps think that be the lekas shir tefila meikara. Even though there isn't enough dam in that keli to accomplish what needs to be accomplished, it's still a valid tefillah. Kos rachmana b'dam, that's what the Torah has to write with dam. V'kos rachmana b'dam, havamina, afilu mesabik. Even if you just get the dam on your finger by smearing, by putting it against the wall, against the rim, kas rachmana, that isn't going to work. The Torah says the taval that you have to put in to the dam. There's a machlokes rishonim. This halacha that we're speaking about the karban chatas and the way the dam has to get on to the finger of the kohen, is this a halacha that applies only by the chatas of pnimius, or this halacha that even applies by the chatas chitzonius? The pasuk is speaking by chatas pnimius. That's very clear. There is shonim debate. Does this halacha apply even by the chatas chitzonius as well? It says the Gemara. We learned in the Braisa. The Braisa said the words menadam shebeinyan, and we said we need to understand what does that mean. Lemute mai amarava lemute shrayim beetzba. After the kohen did hazab, and he has leftover blood on his finger, what's the halacha with that? Can he continue using that leftover blood to do hazor? Mesailer Belazar says the Gemara. We're learning here in the Braisa what Rebbe Elazar taught us. The Belazar shrayim shebeetzba. If you have leftover blood on your finger, that halacha is that it's possible. And the Brisker Rav says that the chiddush here is that even though this blood got onto your finger with a tefillah, even though the way this blood got onto your finger was by doing tefillahs, by doing the proper tefillah, so we would think since the blood got onto your finger properly, it's usable. Kamashmala, that every hazar needs its separate tefillah. Amalei Rav Barav Adol Rav Lerebi. Amalei Amma Tamitchei Amar Rav Amram. He said that your Talmud said we learned that Rav Amram taught us. Your Talmud Rav taught us that Amar Rav Amram Tanin we learned the Brisa. Hayamazab. If the Kohen was spritzing from the Chatas Pnimis from Nitzah Azor Miyadai Achlay Heza and the blood went off from his finger onto a beged before he did the hazar, Tan kibas, that blood that went onto a garment will require kibas. However, Mishahiza, after he already did the hazar, the remaining blood went onto a beged, ain't Tan kibas. And Rav Amram explained, my love, Hachkamer, actually garment kibas, until he finished doing all the seven hazars, some blood went onto a beged, Tan kibas. When he finished all seven hazars, and then it went on to beget and ton kibbutz. So what does this teach us? That blood that's on your finger is usable. Because if blood on your finger is now usable, why would it require kibbutz? Says no loy. This is the way to understand the brain. So come on. Actually, you stuck your finger into the dam. And before you were able to do hazar with that dam, it went on to a beged, ton kibbutz. However, mishiyotz hazor miyadoi, your finger did the hazor, and there's remaining blood, that remaining blood on your finger ain't ton kibbutz, because that blood can no longer be used for any more hazors. Esve Abaye, so Abaye asks, does a Mishnah Masech the Para, Paragil Mishnah test. Gomar, the Skan Kohen Gadol, was standing on Har Mishka, Har Zaysim, Belahazis, and he finished doing the azar of the dam para that he would sprinkle facing the base of Migdash. He wipes his hand on the that he has left over dam para dam on that he has left over on his finger. That the halacha is that he wipes on the body of the para. As the pasuk says, "V'sarvas aparol einof, as oyrus v'sarvas tama apirsha yisroif, gomer in." So we see that only after he finished all the hazars does he wipe his hand. Loi gomer, but if he didn't finish doing all the hazars, loim, he doesn't wipe his hand. Why? Because it's obvious that the remaining blood on his finger could be used again. Amalei, that's not the way to understand our Mishnah. Gomer, when he finished all the hazars. So he wipes his hands on the animal, on the carcass of the animal itself. Loi gomer, if he didn't finish all the azars, of course he has to wipe his finger because he can't use the blood that's left for another azar. But there, he doesn't wipe it on the parah's carcass. he wipes it mekanach etzpoi. He just wipes the finger alone, but not that he wipes, that he does the whole hand. Says the Gemara, Bishlam gomar mekanach yad beguf shapar. When he finishes all the azaris, that's when he wipes his hand on the body of the para. Shnama v'sarvas parav le'enof. We're going to burn this carcass, and therefore everything that was on his hand should be wiped on that para. El etzpo, but the finger that was saying that if you're middle of the hazars and you're going from one hazar to the other hazar, you wipe your finger in between hazars because the remaining blood cannot be used for hazar, and you're not wiping it on the animal itself. So ask the Gemara b'may mekanech, where do you wipe it? Says the Gemara on Abayah b'sfas mizuch, on the rim of the keli. Kedeksiv, as the pasuk says, kipurei zov. Why are these kalim called kipurei zov? Because they're used to wipe the blood on those kalim.